Hello, thank you for joining us. We are here at A New Life, a series of talks with Rav Leiman. Hello, hello everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. And we're talking here and we're learning from the Rav Leiman lately about how to relate in a new way to pregnancy and birth. And we learned from him a lot of fascinating insights about the relationships between the couple and their and the people around them, and how that reflects on the baby, how that develops the embryo and influences him. In the last talk, we also learned about the symbolism between humanity as an embryo, and it was really fascinating. And today, we'd like to take it another step forward. After a couple gets pregnant, they go through all kinds of experiences when the embryo is growing within the mother. We need to begin to prepare for the birth itself. And I know that as a father of four, there are a lot of courses today that prepare you for the birth, all kinds of physical exercises and breathing exercises. There's a lot of preparation. And what we would like to learn from you is the special angle with which you look at life, which is the relationships between people and the way a person relates to another, whether it's his embryo or his spouse or his child, and so on. So we would like to learn about our preparation for birth from this angle. Nitza, help us into this feeling. Okay, so first of all, I'd like to tell you what's going on with me. I'm a few days before birth, and I'm very closed off within myself and contemplating this process. I admit that I am a little fearful. It's hard for me to sleep at night. I'm afraid of what will happen, how it will be. I'm beginning to be a little concerned about the home environment. I need to organize everything for everything to be organized to receive the new baby. And on the one hand, I'm excited because I'm finally going to meet this child that I've been growing for so long inside me, and I would like very much to see what he looks like and how I can feel him with my hands. And together with that, there's this fear, this concern. So I would really like for you, just like you've accompanied our process until now, at this very exciting stage, how could you prepare me for this birth? And how can I prepare the embryo for this birth? I'm not a woman. I'm very far from that, according to my perception of the world and my character. I'm very manly and maybe very masculine, maybe even too much. So, I can understand you only out of the wisdom that, as much as I understand from it. We develop from point A to point B, and on the way, we constantly develop to a more and more round world that is becoming more and more round as it develops. And from the beginning, all the parts of this world are separate, opposed, opposite, completely individualistic, egoistic, of self-interest, and so on. And gradually, they need to enter a connection that is more and more complex and developed until they become one body. Like cells that gather into one body, which grows inside the woman, the mother. And when they gather together correctly, then the embryo, the form of the embryo, grows more and more. And this is the correct example for everything else in nature, the inanimate, vegetative, animate, and human level. They all need to connect finally as one to do so correctly, even though they're opposed and connected. And they need to connect into this one integral system, which operates in mutual guarantee in this common shared life, where there is no difference between one part and the other, but each part is measured in accordance to how much it is beneficial to the general system. And this is the way the entire world, including the entire cosmos, it needs to show itself this way to us as one system. And so, when we speak about the embryo, why does it grow within the mother? This is an initial process, the preparation. Of the inanimate vegetative and animal levels, the different mechanisms that are already entering in this form of the integral system. And if I want, as a mother, for him to grow inside me, also in this good way, harmoniously, in all kinds of systems that we only know just a little bit about them, and only part of them we actually know, I need to think about the general system, how everything is connected, everything is good. It's called that the end of my act starts with the thought that I already know what will happen. I think of the purpose, and this so that this baby that will come out of me will come out into this interconnected world. And for now, he's not able to do that. This is why he's within me and he's developing within me. This birth is actually his new connection to this new world, to the round world. And then I need to bring him, actually, with my approach towards him, with my thoughts and desires and the way that I see the world, I need to bring him this feeling, this philosophy of life. And we know, according to recent studies, and of course out of my wisdom, that it's clear that it's so, that as much as I think and project to this developing embryo thoughts, desires, and an outlook according to this, he doesn't only grow according to this, but he has this, the systems that are built according to that. With certain connections that they make. For example, if we take the brain of a person who was developed within a mother in a special society and compare it to a baby who grew inside a woman of a different culture, we'll also see that there is a difference in the structure of the brain. There is only a certain extent that we can actually measure, but there are a lot of other systems that we could discover that how much the physical preparations, the ties in the neurons in the brain and all kinds of forms of systems inside the body are different. So then this thought, this desire, the attitude of the mother and of the entire environment through which, and also not only through that, but also as we spoke of the surrounding lights, the embryo receives this and it completely forms and organizes his internal systems. And this is very important, therefore, for a mother to understand with our preparation, the preparation that we give her beforehand and the integral education that we will give to her. She must understand that she's living in a world that is completely round, completely integral, and also the baby that's born, it's growing for now in this way that he depends on her more and is protected from bad influences from the outside. But because he is born, what does he actually go through? He goes through more connection with the outer world, and he comes in under the influence, both positive and negative, of the outer world, not only from the mother, but also external influences. And there's also heat and cold and food and all kinds of things, which also thoughts and desires and all the media that's in the air in our virtual world. And all of this also influences him. And therefore, we see here, we are witnesses of something that is born into this new connection with the world, more integral than it was before, more connected than it was before to the world than it was before. And the mother needs to be prepared, and the father and the relatives need to be prepared to supply him with the correct connection to the entire world, the integral connection, so that he'll accept the world as one whole, and that he belongs to this system and is in it as an active part which is correctly connected to everything else. And the more he grows, he actually connects more and more correctly and understands the world more and more, his place within it more and more, and can be mutually connected to it and to live mutually with the surrounding environment. This is what we call the Torah of your mother, the wisdom of your mother. And this is how we need to see the person that develops, and afterwards he receives education and is prepared for everything, let's say, during his teens, meaning that he's able to live in this world with everything that the world supplies to him and gives him, both good and bad influences, so that he'll be able to take all of them, and together with that, to cause the integral connection in the world, from him to the world outside him. And then he'll begin to see that there are forces that are active in the world which are supposedly for and against this connection. And all of this is happening against him or for him, so that he will accept this world and grow in it with these two forces, opposing forces. And just like in the womb, these two forces continue to operate, except before they operated on him through the mother, especially in the development within the womb. And now he's also developing through these two forces, but they come to him from this wider womb that is called the environment. And now already there are such responses on his part that are more rational, more mature, not just like in the womb. We think that the embryo has no response, but there is a response, and he's learning, he's attaining a lot of wisdom. It's no coincidence that it's written in the Zohar that the embryo in the water of his mother's womb can see from the beginning of the world to its end. Yes, he receives a lot of wisdom there. He is receiving the foundations of this program of life. Otherwise, how is he born? Just as a body of flesh? No, he's already born with the foundation, and he only needs to develop what he's gained. He enters a wider and wider environment of more powerful, distinct forces of plus and minus, where he needs to combine them, to take them correctly, and to constantly grow, and to be in harmony with them, even though the forces are opposite. And this is how he grows. And therefore, we need to see that the entire world is actually a womb that develops us to this new birth. After the birth where he was born as a man in our world, he also continues to grow through the environment in this womb that is called humanity, let's say. And he also goes through all of these phases that are called the 9 months of pregnancy, which are the three sections, 2,000, 2,000, and 2,000 years, the 6,000 years of the world, as it's called, is such a development that is gradual until he is born to an even higher, a newer degree, which is actually his spiritual birth, to a world or a womb that is wider, that right now we cannot identify it, just like a baby in the water of his womb that cannot identify the world and doesn't know where he's developing into because he doesn't have the vessels to perceive the next degree. This is how we develop in humanity in order to be born into the new degree. And then we go through the last phase in our development towards the spiritual development, and also there we develop. And also there are the stages of pregnancy and breastfeeding and minds and the mochin, the brains, Iburya Nika Mochin, the three stages that we can call them, and this is how we develop. So this process is a long process. It's an unending process, and if we know what we're heading towards and where we're developing to, then also the baby that we have that needs to develop towards it, if the mother understands this situation, if she understands that this is how nature has organized this process, then her thought, her desire, her attitude in general is wide, and it gives the embryo an ability to later be wise and to correctly use all of the forces of nature so that when he'll be born, it will go by well and nicely. Also, the process of birth itself, that is, there is a lot of fears and anxiety around it. What will happen? What will be? And the moment a woman is a little bit higher than the act, the physical act itself, it gives her a feeling of security and strength. She feels that she's part of the greater nature, that she has a mission. And then she's in a completely different attitude towards this physical act that she needs to go through, as which is the process of birth itself. So there are a lot of things that we can add here. But this is how I would put it. This is how I see it. I'd like to develop this to understand this properly. On the part of the embryo, you said that there's nature that is instilling a certain program within the baby, which is preparing him for life. But on the other hand, me as a mother can also influence it. This is similar to what happens to us when we are born. Then we have attributes we were born with and which can't be erased. It's already inside us. And then we can develop them either for good or for bad in all kinds of ways and styles in accordance to the environment. There are people who we recommend to do science, and others that we recommend to become butchers instead of being a murderer, for him to be a butcher. And for another, instead of being cunning, to develop new computer softwares and so on. So there are all kinds of possibilities for a person and how to develop always, because our attributes and our inclinations, we always receive them as raw material. But the mother, by thinking and giving these thoughts to the embryo, not just the blood, not just all the minerals and vitamins and substances that he needs, she also gives him her thoughts. This is called the wisdom of your mother, which begins from the first day. It's not a coincidence that her thoughts are always focused on the embryo that is developing. Now, what are these thoughts? How can she give the right form to these thoughts? So here we're talking exactly about the right attitude that a mother needs to know towards what this future person needs to turn into. Then she's already now preparing this basis for him, and this influences very much not only the emotional cognitive preparation that he needs to have, but also the structure of the brain and the systems of the body, where their ties of this brain and systematic structures of the body, you will not be able to change anymore. He's already born in such a way. These parts were connected in such a way or a different way in the brain. Now the mother, in relation to the baby, determines it now as he's still an embryo. It's very critical. Yes, it's very critical. I can give you research, scientific research about this. I also sent this to you. You haven't seen this email yet after the talks we had today. These are very serious things. We can see it in all kinds of research, and it depends. It all depends how you treat the embryo, how you treat also to the young baby, but to the embryo, it's very critical. Now, over the past months, it's even more critical than... Yes, the last months are more critical because it develops this way. In the last section, the brain develops especially. But we can't say that if we don't see it developing before, then it's not, because it's in the environment. It doesn't have an expression physically. It doesn't have the brain yet. But he already has a head within which there is a system, but it's already there. It just hasn't received the physical expression yet. So what kind of thoughts do I need to have? This is what we need to teach you in this integral education. Okay, so teach me, because I don't have enough time. I don't want him out before I manage to learn it all. These months are enough for us to give you this knowledge. But actually, we need to begin it from the moment that a woman knows that she's pregnant, that she's about to become a mother. From this moment onwards, she needs to start to receive this integral education. Let's talk about the embryo a little bit. We talked about the mother. Today we can identify all kinds of physiological measures of the embryo being ready to leave the womb, and the birth will happen soon. There are all kinds of tests. My question is, as far as your perception and outlook is concerned, is there an emotional state of the embryo that determines that he's ready? Because you see that the embryo is a creature that is developing. What is this stage? The stage that he's ready to leave the embryo is the stage of this new connection to the world, where he understands and feels, while he's still in the womb, that he wants a new connection to his mother. He wants an external connection to his mother. It's as if he's... he is rejecting the food that is the blood and the attitude that he's receiving, this treatment that is so close and compulsory, supposedly. And he feels that this womb becomes a tomb. It's just like that, that it's burying him inside her, and he needs to begin new connections with his upper degree, which is his mother. He feels that the womb turns into a tomb, into a grave. What do you mean? Yes, that if he'll stay there a little longer, it will be poisonous. It will be death for him. And he wants to get out? He wants to get out because he wants to escape it, because he feels that any moment longer it will be bad for him, that the more he'll receive, it won't be a blood of life or a spirit of life. It will be death. It will be blood from the word dam, domem, inanimate, death, not developing, but dead. The drug of life and the drug of death, they come from the same source. He feels where he's heading. He feels that he has to get out. And he has to be tied with whoever's giving birth to him in this new way. External way. External meaning with more consciousness, more understanding, with an expression of himself. I want to receive or I don't want to receive nutrition. I need to feel the environment more. The environment within which I am, I don't know how to pass this on to you. It's a kind of claustrophobic feeling that he feels inside. Towards the exit? Yes, yes, the place becomes a kind of a small cell where he's buried, just like a person who's alive and is buried in the ground. So what, he hates his mother? He hates her. Yes, this is hatred. He hates this connection that he feels. It's the negation of the previous state from which he'll reach the new state, this new connection, to the new degree of connection. So he doesn't hate the mother. He hates this form of connection between them. Well, yes, okay. So the mother, it sounds... By the way, he helps her out. It's not just the mother who is working here, also the embryo is working here in getting out. Just like we think that she's pressuring him to get out, you can say that also inside her, instead of holding him inside, protecting him, not letting him out, it's as if all these forces were concentrated on keeping him in. Suddenly this opening opens up and he comes out and he turns around and he breaks out himself together with the powers of his mother. So this emotional state that or development that he goes through, that he wants to come out, how long before the birth does this begin? These are not the growing pains that the woman feels. I'm talking about the embryo, this emotional state that he's in, that he wants to come out. How much before birth does this begin? Is it very close? Is it months before? This is called the 7 years of hunger. Yeah, but I'm asking in his terms of time for the embryo. In terms of the mother, I'd say develops during the last trimester, and especially the last trimester of the last trimester. You're saying the last month. Yes. But we're talking about the natural, healthy state, the ideal state. Right, when the pregnancy lasts 9 months. So I feel that he's in this very big angst, emotional angst. Well, yes, relatively so, but he needs to develop it. No, it gives him antidotes. It gives him an ability to deal with the external world, because inside this degree that he's in the mother, he receives everything, and the mother protects him. And when he comes out, how many germs, how many viruses, physical and spiritual and emotional, operate on him, and he needs to deal with all of that. He needs to constantly be in discernment and scrutiny, this yes and that no. He's breathing air now. He's receiving all kinds of microbes, all kinds of things. How will he deal with it? He has to develop his body and to be in this constant struggle with the wider world outside him, to be in this discernment of what's good and bad. He needs to exchange the internal software that is a program that is working inside him. If we didn't have such internal programs, you know how poisoned we'd be from everything around us? Why are we so protective of the baby? What he breathes and what he eats and heat and cold and everything that are balanced so that these systems will be balanced within him more and more. With animals, it happens in a better way. They're used to whatever they're growing with. Put a person into the same conditions an animal has. Don't wrap him in something warm or give him something. You understand, our body has to develop a lot of these new systems towards the birth, the exit, and therefore he needs to be a hero. So then during this last month, this is only after the growing pains, the struggle. It is similar to the 10 blows of Egypt. That's 10 plagues of Egypt. Wait, he hasn't come out yet. This is the last third of the last trimester, the ninth month. Yes, he's beginning to supposedly hate his internal state. Right, and it's in this emotional angst that you described. Yes, but again, it's not that we need to understand that without this, he won't receive the preparation for this new degree, this new state. Okay, I understand, but you said that during this time he develops the antidotes that will enable him to face life. Yes. Okay, so what's actually happening here? Does he have a struggle with the mother? What is he struggling against? Yes, with his mother. That's right. So then he needs to go through the struggle in order to later be prepared for the struggles outside, to be ready for external perception. Otherwise, he won't be ready to connect to the external world. The external world will simply kill him. God forbid. Wait, I didn't understand you. Who is he struggling now? He's struggling with his own mother. Yes and no. The mother lovingly, because she's interested in him being born and developing, she prepares him in such a way for these external conditions. Of course he struggles against the mother, but it's not a hatred, it's a preparation on the part of the mother. It's just like we give exercises for our children to do, and we pressure them to prepare them for life, in order to prepare them for higher stages of life, to develop. It's the same here. The mother has to develop inside him this hatred for the state within he finds himself now, and a preparation for a higher state. Can the mother help the fetus here with his angst and the trouble that he finds himself in? With her thoughts, just like we spoke before. No, but specifically, he's beginning to feel bad. She needs to talk to him as if he's already been born. In general, this is good all throughout the entire 9 months to do that. As if he's already been born, talk to him as if there is no choice. He has to go through this to develop himself in this way. Be great, be understanding, be feeling and wise and a hero. And she herself needs to do this. Whatever she has inside her mind, inside her desire, inside her perception, her attainment and understanding, it all transfers to the baby, to the embryo. This is how the upper develops the lower. And the lower one, naturally, because he's still in the womb, feels it and understands it and accepts it and constantly understands and is aware of it, that there is the good part that develops me and the bad part that's supposedly bad that develops me. This is called the back of the neck. Pharaoh and the Creator. So let's go back to things that are closer. Well, let's just, if we could finish this part. In terms of the embryo, I said that tell him that he's big and great and a hero. And what kinds of feeling does he have from the inside? He's inside this struggle. He becomes wiser. He understands that the world is made composed of two forces and there's no other way. So also before he developed according to two forces, because it's not possible for there to be just one force in the world. There's only the combination of two. But now he's developed through it naturally, and now he begins to understand and to feel that he needs to always be between these two forces, and how he works with both of them and how he receives both of them as one. Which are these two forces? The good force and the bad force. The bad force is this angst that he feels inside, and the good force is what? The mother who is guiding him and supervising him. The drawing force on the one hand, and the force that is keeping him in place. The force that keeps him in place doesn't let him develop, and the illustrating force does. And these two forces, we need to understand, they both come from the mother, one mother, and she develops him through these two forces. So let's see if I understand this picture. Let's say he inside begins to feel an angst, and he feels that the way he's connected to his mother, and he doesn't want this anymore, he wants something new, a new connection. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, if she begins to support him, like you said, in thoughts, and she feels that there's a kind of help from her, a negative help from this same mother. Come to Pharaoh, for I have made his heart heavy. In simple words, that you can't be under one force, but only through these two forces that he studies how to cope with both of them. Then he turns this bad force also into the good force, and he begins to learn from these examples that he's now receiving in there, inside the womb. He begins to learn from that how he needs himself to cope with them and to be with them freely, so that he feel receive. If he's born, if he receives this independence, then he'll already be able to deal with them in a new way, that he chooses himself with the combination of these two forces. He doesn't escape from this bad force, but he tries to take it and to combine it with this good force. And this is how each time he'll advance and advance with these two forces in reception and bestowal and grow in such a way. Let's go to the father for a moment. Until now, we talked about the mother and the embryo, and we're preparing for birth. What preparation does the father need to go through, who's not a father yet, let's say he's a man? What can he do towards the birth, this process? Because he's on the side a little bit in all this story. They have this physical interaction and thoughts. The father needs to be inside the mother, supposedly. What do you mean? He needs the preparation for birth for the father. The father needs to be as close as possible to the mother. Can you expand? To support. To help. A mother without a father feels a lack of support, a lack of strength, lack of force of bestowal, of influence on the embryo. If there isn't a man behind the woman, then there is a lack in the way she can influence her embryo. If the man is supportive of this, and also he's going through our study, our education, and knows how, with his thoughts and especially, to participate in his desire willingly, then he has a connection with the embryo that both through her and also not through the mother, because the embryo begins from the whiteness of the father. Let's keep a language that the public can understand. Well, the embryo began from the sperm of the father, right? Yeah, 8 or 9 months ago. Right, it doesn't matter. Then this embryo has a part from the father inside him. Therefore, the father is tied to him, even though he's, for now, in the body of the mother, but the father is tied to him. And the father can influence him. It seems to our eyes that they're disconnected. That the father gave a sperm to the mother, and then that's it. And the sperm is here, and the father is there, and even left, and we don't know. But they're still connected. They're connected. In the virtual world, in the field of forces, there's no stop. There is no disconnection. This connection has already been made. It exists forever. For eternity, and therefore it was also planned this way from the beginning of the world to happen in this way. And that's why it happened, this mating, this coming together, this whole process and so on. So of course this embryo is connected to the father, and I'd put it this way, in a different way, that the father, in order to develop this result of him out of himself, he needs the woman as the means to do so, as the incubator for this. If I understand you correctly in regards to the father, then he has two forms of connection to this embryo that is about to be born. One is through the mother and one is directly, as you just explained. And you said that the father can, through his thoughts and desires, to make the embryo, to cause the best birth possible for his son or daughter or this future baby. True. So what do I need to think about? Let's say she's in the ninth month. What do I need to think about? Until now you taught me, throughout the pregnancy, you taught me and you gave me emphases how to influence the baby, and we practiced that. Now I'm asking, do you have specific guidance? And can you specifically prepare me? What do I need to think about? What do I need to focus on in order to cause this process to happen in the best way possible? Right now, and during these days, she's about to give birth. What do I now need to think about specifically? About you giving birth to this baby. to the round world, into the round world, into a new womb. And you want for him to feel that, to feel himself this way, and for the world to always be this way around him. So that for this baby, you are willing to do all the efforts, to make all the efforts in order to change the world, for it to be a good world. This is what I think about him directly. Now, let's think about the second connection you described, that I need to be as close to the mother as possible towards the birth to be supportive and to help. So I know, I was taught, and I understand these more material things that I need to do and so on in this aspect, but what in terms of my thoughts, or I don't know what, do I need to think in my support of the mother? You talked about the plane of the direct plane of influence towards him, but what is the support that the mother needs from me right now? A feeling of support, that you are together with her in this entire process. That you are ready to complete all of her efforts and are protecting her at every moment. She needs emotional support. What is the difference between her friends and her relatives supporting her? A lot of people can support her. In comparison to the man that has given her this drop of semen, all the rest of the influences are very... very far. This is what's shared between the man and woman. It's the integration between the father and the mother, mother in the father and father in the mother, where this is the drop of semen which is inside the mother. I'm not grasping this. I understand that I need to support her, but I don't quite understand what she needs to think about so she'll feel the most support. She's about to give birth, let's say. No, it's not that she's about to give birth. She, did you ever hear from a woman? What does she say? I gave you children, I gave him a son. Yeah? Okay. So, I made it for him. I did it for him. I hear this for women a lot. I hear it at home. I have three sons. A woman always claims that she made it for you. I created these children for you. This is actually very strange because the children are more connected to her, and she carried them for 9 months, and all the treatment and breastfeeding and everything and whatnot. No, I did this for the man. Inside her, naturally, she has this connection to you that she took and received this drop of semen from you and is doing it for you. So what can I do for her? Then, in return for that, what do you need to do in return for this expectation, this claim, this feeling that she has? To answer that, what do you need to do? You need to think. You need to, for her to understand from you that you are truly thinking this way too. At least that. That she's doing all of this for you. What will this do to her? This will cause her to feel a fulfillment of this claim that she's doing this for you, that you are accepting it, you're thankful for it, that you are aware of it, that you are appreciative of this, that this is your attitude towards this process, that she's doing you a great favor. In our reality, it's a lot of times it's the opposite. It's a feeling that he did this to me. It's the opposite. Well, if they're separate, then what can you do? Women meet with men today in order to get their sperm so that they go and give birth without being connected to the men at all. And how does this influence the embryo? Unfortunately, it influences the embryo, but our world is so broken already and artificial that we're far from what we're talking about here is the ideal state. Let's advance a little more. Let's go back to the woman. In the last months, she's been pregnant, and actually these processes, these wondrous natural processes, make sure that everything will be okay. And she actually only made efforts not to interfere with the nature since she became pregnant. Something happened in her, and in this kind of process, we continued to develop, and she made efforts not to interfere with this process. And in a few days, she's going to give birth. How can she overcome the fear that awakens within her? There was a status quo, but there's about to be a kind of metamorphosis, a kind of change here. How can she trust the body to know what it needs to do at the moment of truth? This is a very simple thing, only the importance of this goal. What goal? The physical or spiritual goal, whichever one you want. If I know that through such acts I can reach this good, beautiful goal and give birth to the baby, into this new world, and then grow him into an even better world, a newer world, then here I have a very important role. I am the center of the world, the center of reality. By that I am evolving the soul to something high. The most important thing is for a person not to see his situation as limited, that he's focused within himself, and then all the problems and small pains, it will seem as something terrible. But if he already begins to open before him the next state, where he sees that as a goal, and the goal that is worthwhile, that is desirable, then all of these stages, the pressures, the birth pains that we need to go through, for him this will be much easier and purposeful. That is most important. This takes all of the pain and even turns the pain into pleasure. It's that much so. If he wants to be born very much, this embryo, and the mother together with him wants for him to be born into this good world, then it's happiness for all. Everyone feels happy about it. In the last talk, you said that the woman is actually like the representative of nature. And now that she's before birth, how can she develop this thought that she's actually the representative of nature? Because if I'm able to understand what you're saying, this is what I talked about now. Yeah, but how do I do this in actuality? What do I need to think about to feel this way? Mrs., you can't do this now in one moment. It's but over the hours of study, of education, which you've gone through, workshops, discussions of all kinds of preparations, then you build within yourself this new attitude. It doesn't happen instantaneously in the last moment. But this is what we're talking about here. We want to give you a wider perspective on life. Not a narrow one, because you're giving birth not to just an animal body. You're giving birth to the human, the great man, Adam. And then out of the greatness of this goal, of this purpose, of this deed, that you feel yourself in such a great role, it takes away not only the pains, but it turns them into something. There is this matter of the sweetening of the troubles. It's the sweetening of the pains. It's as if in order to feel sweet, there needs to be something bitter inside. You know, the true sweets were such that they added cognac to, or whiskey, a little bit. Something that's a bit spicy, a bit hot. Because without it, you won't be able to feel the sweetness. So there's a sweetening here, that we can turn all of these pains, all of these things, into the going out to freedom, to this new development. What about these birth pains? But wait a minute, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about the sweet and sour, bittersweet feelings. If we think about these acts around the birth, then we see that there is a kind of meeting here, a very radical one, maybe the most powerful one, between huge pain and huge joy. Why is it this way? Because otherwise it's impossible for anything to be born if he doesn't hate the previous stage, just like we talked about it. Who, the embryo? Because we see it more on the part of the parents. But okay, let's talk on which other side you want. On both parts, there has to be an addition of powers so that when he'll be born, both him and the mother will already feel or think about the next stage, both him and the mother. As long as he's inside the womb, he needs to feel the external state into which he's going to be born. But how will he know this? If the embryo can hear us, then he'll know. But why does he want to get out? But you said that he's feeling this angst. He can't wait. Right. That means that he wants to come out. He wants to feel that he's outside. This means that he's describing the external state to himself as opposed to the internal state situation. He's kicking her from the inside all the time. They're feeling it. The tummy jumps. So he wants to come out. But this is also painful for him. This is hurting him and hurting her. These pains are actually the labor pains, the troubles that he feels in this internal state. Wait, hold it a second with these pains. Because this new degree is already growing in within him. The moment he is in this last development, in the last trimester of the pregnancy, then the new degree already grows within him at the beginning of this degree, and therefore there is this clash between the new degree and the present degree. And then the difference between these two degrees, part of the upper degree enters this present state, and then there's a kind of an antagonism between them. This is why there is a combination between great joy and great pain. Yes. How can we, or is it not necessary? Do you tell me? Can you play with the extent of the joy and pain? The more she enlarges this new state that she wants, the future, the global world, the everything that's good and prepared for her baby and everything, her status, her role, her mission. She's also giving birth to a new soul, to the new world for correction and all. It all depends on this psychological preparation, let's say, of the woman and also of the man. Okay, so let's advance a little bit more towards the birth itself. There is a moment, a specific moment, where you wait and wait and wait, and you look at the calendar when the birth is supposed to happen, and there's this moment where it begins, and from there onwards the process begins to flow, and then there's all kinds of stages, but there is this path of the birth itself. So it's hard to put your finger on when this beginning will happen. What determines here, according to your view, in this connection between the mother and baby? The darkest state, which is called midnight, it's called that way. So if you could translate that for us to understand, what determines the moment of beginning of birth? So there are a few stages before it, before the birth begins. Yes. What are they? It's the preparation of the passageway, which is the door and the door sill, which are all of these corrections. We don't understand that. Okay, but I still have to talk about it. Otherwise, there's no point in talking about the animal. Okay, just explain this to us so we'll understand. There's a preparation on the part of nature towards the passageway itself, the way the baby will be born. These are the corrections on the part of nature on the corporeal level, so that there are no names on the corporeal level. This is why I'm giving it names from the spiritual, the parallel state. But this happens in her body, right? Yes. And after that there is this preparation, then the process of birth begins with the mutual pressure of two forces in such a way that the illustrating force also operates as a pushing force. Both the mother and the embryo receive power from this new state, from the higher state, meaning that the embryo receives already inside him, before the birth itself, it receives the power as when he'll be born. That he has the resistance to the mother, and then he's born. It's as if they are in opposition to each other. It's told about this in the Seder, that in the Passover, what we read during Passover, that the snake comes and bites the deer, and then she gives birth. So this is how we can talk about the birth, which cannot happen while you're inside. You're inside. When you're outside, you're outside. The process can only happen when you already receive, when you're inside, the form of when what you'll be like when you're outside. And this point is the trigger that you're talking about for the process of birth. Does the mother feel it, or does it happen before she feels it? In our times, it's all foggy because the world is broken on all levels. But actually, yes. So it's not sure that she'll feel it, but the embryo will, because he's received forces as if he's already outside. Yes, once women would feel it, and especially those who gave birth. Okay, so this is the point of beginning from which the process of birth begins. And now what? The pains will start? No, the birth pains already started before. Yeah, the birth pains are all throughout the last trimester. They only develop more and more. Now the doors are opening of the womb, and then it's the beginning of the exit. So the woman, when she says, "I feel pains, growing birth pains," these are not regular pains. This is already pressure of the exit already. Right, so this is a specific stage that even if I had pains before, I didn't feel them. Let's say if they put a monitor on me, but now it's already pains that I can't ignore. Yes, they're different. This is already something else, completely new. So then the beginning point was a lot before I began to feel it physically, or? Well, of course, but why is that important for us? We're talking about the act itself. What does the mother need to think about when she's feeling this birth pain, because she's so in pain? That she's giving birth to new life. She's giving birth to new life. Coming out to a new world, that the baby is her continuance. It's her who is actually going through this birth together with him. She's going through birth? Yes, she's going through this birth inside him, with him together. She needs to focus on that she's inside him, and how she goes through it together with him, as if she's emotionally together with him and going through it, this process, this escape from inside to the outside. Okay, here we're going to finish. So our time is simply up. We are sorry. So thank you, Rav Lightman. Thank you, Nita. And be with us. We're about to be born. It's happening very soon. On our next talk, we'll continue. So all the best.